بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Dhariyat, and we are in the story of Ibrahim عليه السلام and his guests now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين؟ Verse 24, has the story reached you of the honored guests, the three angels to Ibrahim, who were sent to Ibrahim? إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. When they came in to him and said salam. قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. He said salam and said, you are people unknown to me. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينَ. So he turned to his household and brought out a roasted calf. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. So he placed it before them, saying, will you not eat? Will you not eat? فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. He conceived a fear of them when they ate not. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They said, fear not. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. And they gave him glad tidings of an intelligent son, having knowledge. فَأَقْبَلَتْ امْرَأَتُهُ فِي سَرَّةٍ. Then his wife came forward with a loud voice. She smote her face and said, فَصَكَّتْ وَجْهَا وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ. A barren old woman. They said, كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. Even so, says your Lord, verily he is all wise, all knower. كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. قَالُوا كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. All of this was discussed before, and we took also the benefits on the matter of salam and greetings. Now we go to verse 31. قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Ibrahim said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, then what purpose you have come? For what purpose you have come, O messengers? I mean, what's the matter with you, O angels? And they are angels. قَالُوا إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مُجْرِمِينَ. They said, in the next verse, we have been sent to a people who are mujrimeen, a great criminal act. And this is, we seek refuge in Allah from that, is homosexuality, known in Arabic as al-luwat. Because those criminals used to seek men for their sexual desires instead of lawful relations to fulfill that with women. So they seek that which is not created for them and leave that which is created for them, as it was told to them by their prophet Lut alayhi salam, when he told them in Surah Al-Shu'ara, as it stated in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 166, he said, وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ, and leave those whom Allah has created for you to be your wives. And this sin is a very ugly one, not approved by the intellect nor by the innate nature nor by the deen. And that's why its punishment is to kill the both the doer and his party if they were adults and sane. Whether they are or were married, are married or were married or not. And this is different from zina, adultery. The punishment for it is of a lesser magnitude. That is because the adulterer, if he is not married, his punishment is to be lashed 100 lashes and expelled from his home for 1 year, from his hometown for 1 year. And if he was married and had sexual intercourse and then engaged in adultery, then his punishment is to be stoned to death. But in this case, with this sin of homosexuality, his punishment is to be killed under all circumstances, as came in the hadith, من وجدتموه, as came in the hadith, من وجدتموه يعمل عمل قوم لوط فاقتلوا الفاعل والمفعول به. Whoever you find engaged in the act of the people of Lut, then kill the doer and his party. And such an occurrence of this sin took place during the time of Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he ordered that both be burned. And that is because burning is the greatest punishment set upon the children of Adam. And so it came from some of the Muslim Khulafa that they commanded to burn the doer or those engaged in this sin. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, were unanimous on killing the person engaged in this act, but they differed as to how should he be killed. Some of them said he should be burned. Others mentioned that he should be casted with stones until he die, like the adulterer, a chaste adulterer who committed adultery and was married and had intercourse. Others said that he is to be thrown from a high place in the town, the highest place in the town, and then followed by rocks until he dies. The important thing is that they are all agreed and unanimous upon him being killed. And there is no doubt that killing him is the wisdom. Because when this fahisha, this sin, when it dissipates in men, then men will become like women. And also, humility and disgrace will live with the person to whom it is done to. He will never forget it until he dies. And also this will lead that men will be sufficient with men, and women will remain outside, meaning not looked for and sought for legal relations. That is because if this fahisha is afflicts someone, then he will never look for other than it, because it is a disease, deadly disease. And so if these people are to be killed, and they are a microbe, then this is the essence of a benefit. The other thing is that these relations of luwat, homosexuality, are something it's hard to avoid, in the sense it's difficult for a person to see two males walking in the market to denounce them being together. You see that? But with respect to zina, adultery, if you see a man with a woman, you may denounce that, or you may accuse him, and you come and reach him and talk to him. But it's difficult when it takes place between men. And that's why, therefore, the punishment of execution of the person involved in this relation is most fitting for hikmah and also for mercy. Why? Because it is mercy for both, so that they don't continue in their lives accumulating sins and punishment amplifying upon them. Also, it is mercy with respect to the society, and so their punishment will be a lesson and deterrence, so that the society does not get corrupted. And that's why the angels said to Ibrahim, "Inna ursilna ila qawmin mujrimin." We have been sent, verily we have been sent to a people who are mujrimin. As their prophet had told them before, in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 80, Lut alayhi salam, chapter 7, verse 80. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And remember Lut, when he said to his people, "Do you commit the worst sin such as none preceding you has committed in al-alameen?" And all that exists. So the messengers, the angels here, said they are the messengers of Allah, sent to these criminals. For what? In the next verse, 33 and 34. لِنُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّنْ طِينٍ مُسَوَّمَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُشْرِفِينَ. To send down upon them stones of baked clay, marked by your Lord for the musrifeen, for the criminals, sinners, etc. It's not this normal clay we look at and see, meaning it's not that this one which is soft, but it is very hard. to the extent that if it hits a person on his head, it will come out from his rear end. It will not be bounced by a bone nor by flesh, because of its strength and its hardness. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ مُسَوَّمَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, marked by your Lord, meaning there's a mark on it. That is because everything with Allah is with a measure. Don't think that the matters which Allah ordains are just like this, occur by accident and so forth, or abruptly, without being measured. Rather, it is. You know, to the extent that when we look at the distances between the stars and the differences amongst them in terms of their sizes, huge sizes, and illumination, all of that is with precise ordainment and measure. It didn't come accidentally. Everything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with a due measure. So these stones are marked. What does this mean in terms of them being marked? Does it mean that there is written on it, for example, like this is stones for punishment, end of quote, or marked with respect to whom it is directed to or at? The answer is the second one, because this is more precise. This is to fall upon such and such, and this upon such and such. للمسرفين, to those who transgress the limits. And there is no doubt that this luwat, this homosexual relationship, is a transgression to the limit, or to limits, وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then Allah said in verse 35, فَأَخْرَجْنَا مَنْ كَانَ فِيهَا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we brought out from therein the believers. This action of bringing them out is a universal decree of Allah. So they came out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Lut in Surah Hud 11:81, فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتُكَ إِلَّا امْرَأَتُكَ فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتُكَ. So travel with your family in a part of the night, and let not anyone of you look back but your wife, meaning she will remain behind. Verily the punishment which will afflict them will afflict her. So Allah brought out from therein the believers. And who are they? Who were they? They were Lut and his family, with the exception of his wife. وَلِهَذَا, that's why in the next verse, فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, but we found not there any household of the Muslims except one, meaning Lut and his two daughters. One household, a whole town, invited by their Prophet عليه السلام to the Tawheed of Allah, to single Allah alone in worship, and to abandon this terrible sin. No one followed him on that, even his household, meaning his wife, so not even members of his family. From amongst them of the family of a prophet, his wife. So in this there is an admonition for the caller to Allah. Don't be alarmed and distressed and despair if you invite others and only from the 100 you may invite only 10 respond. Because the fact is, the messengers alayhim salatu wassalam stayed in their nations many years, and only few followed them. And Lut alayhi salam in his hometown, no one followed him, and they stayed behind. They remained behind. And that's why Allah said, فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But we found not therein there any household of the Muslims except one. Now someone may ask this question, كَيْفَ قَالَ اللَّهُ. How come that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the previous verse, فَأَخْرَجْنَا مَنْ كَانَ فِيهَا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We brought out from therein the believers. Then he said in 36, فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But we found not there any household of the Muslims except one. Does the term Muslims here mean the believers mentioned in the verse before? Some of the scholars went to this meaning, and they said that in this there is evidence that Iman and Islam are the same thing. They concluded from this, from these two verses. Some of the scholars concluded from these two verses that al-Iman and Islam are one thing. Other scholars, rahimahumullah, went to say that there is difference, and said the believers were saved. The believers were saved. As to the house, then it is the house of Islam. That is because what is apparent in this house, the house of Islam, is that it is an Islamic house. Even his wife did not manifest the kufr openly. She put an outward that she is Muslima. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tahrim 66 verse 10, ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما. Allah set forth an example for those who disbelieve, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lut. They were under two of our righteous slaves, but they both betrayed their husbands. So they, Noah and Lut, benefited them, not against Allah. And it was said, enter the fire along with those who enter. It does not mean that they betrayed them in the sin, but rather the betrayer was in disbelief. But it was shielded disbelief. So it is a betrayal from the kind of hypocrisy. And that's why it is said concerning the society where there are hypocrites, it is said it is an Islamic society, although there are hypocrites in such a society, because on the outward there is an Islamic outward. Therefore we say concerning verse 36, فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But we found not therein any household of Muslims except one. He said from the Muslimin, because his wife was not a believer. What? Apparently she was putting outward what? As Muslima. You understand? Is that clear?
Next verse. 37. وَتَرَكْنَا فِيهَا آيَةً لِلَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. And we have left therein a sign for those who fear the painful torment. A sign. What was the sign? Was it physical? Or otherwise intangible? Or two signs? One tangible, one intangible. We learned in the classes of Usul al-Tafsir, the fundamentals of Tafsir, a great foundation. If a verse tolerates more than one meaning, such that there is no preponderance between the meanings, one over the other, and no opposition between them, then it is binding to carry the meaning, carry both meanings. It is binding to carry both meanings for this verse. Is that clear? This is very beneficial foundation. So this verse is both tangible and intangible. As to the physical, is that what we see? The place of their town, which is known as Buhayrat Lut, the Lake of Lut. And this is well known in Palestine. Everyone sees that who passed by. As Allah mentioned in Surah As-Saffat 37, verse 137 and 138, وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ وَبِاللَّيْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Verily you pass by them in the morning and at night, will you not then reflect? This is the physical. The intangible, anyone who read their story in all the citations in the chapters of the Quran will be admonished and will have fear of Allah and will take heed. But who really is the one who gives attention to such verses and takes admonition? This is what Allah stated at the end of this verse we are discussing, verse 37, وَتَرَكْنَا فِيهَا آيَةً لِلَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. And we have left therein a sign. For sign for whom? For those who fear the painful torment. For those who fear the painful torment. As to those who deny, those with hard and harsh hearts, they will not benefit from these verses. قال الله تعالى, Allah mentioned in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 101, وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, behold, all that's in the heavens and the earth, but neither ayat, signs, nor warnings benefit those who believe not. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who benefit in Allah's signs and texts. Then in the next verse, now the story of Musa and Fir'aun. Verse 38, قال الله تعالى, وفي موسى إذ أرسلناه إلى فرعون بسلطان مبين. And in Musa too, there is a sign. whom we sent him for, or we sent him to, Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, with a manifest authority. Meaning in Musa there are signs, from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most magnificent, when he sent him to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun is a title of a kind applying to every ruler of Egypt who ruled it and was kafir. And Musa bin Imran alayhi salam is the best of the prophets of Bani Israel, of the children of Israel. And he ranks the third in merits with respect to the five most firm and most strong in steadfastness, fastness on deen. And the best of them all is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, then Ibrahim, then Musa, then Noah, and then Isa alayhim as-salatu was-salam. May Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon all of them. Allah sent Musa bi-sultanin mubin, with a manifest authority, meaning manifest proof. It is clear, and also it is makes the matter clear for other than itself. The signs brought by the prophets are clear signs for every fair and just person, and also they make it clear the truthfulness of the messages brought by the messengers. So that's why one should know that whenever in the Quran the word Mubin comes, then it is in itself clear and also a clarification for other than itself. Unless the context restricts the clarity to itself, to the sign itself. From the signs, the great signs which Musa brought, was his stick, which he used to lean against and support himself when needed. Allah described it also that it has other benefits. In Surah Taha 20, verses 17-18, قال الله تعالى وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى قال هي عصايا أتوكأ عليها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى. And what's in your hand? What is that in your hand or your right hand, O Musa? He said, this is my stick, whereon I lean and wherewith I beat down the branches or branches for my sheep, and wherein I find other uses. So it is a sign, in the sense that if he puts it on the ground, it becomes a clear snake, great one, instilling fear in whoever sees it. And that's why Musa alayhi salam, when he saw it, he dropped it and ran. So Allah called him, لا تخف, don't fear. And we know that he received 9 signs. We know that in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, 101. And indeed we gave to Musa 9 clear signs. Ask then the children of Israel when he came to them. Then Pharaoh said to him, O Musa, I think you are indeed bewitched. Clear signs. But Pharaoh took to his authority, to his power, sought it for shelter, and his army, and turned away out of haughtiness and disdainfulness and transgression. قال الله تعالى in سورة النمل 27 وجحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. And they denied it, the message and our signs, while themselves were certain of it. They denied it out of disdainfulness and false pride. And what did he say? He accused him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accused Musa of being a magician or insane. As in the next verse 39, وَقَالَ سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. We talk about this verse, we're talking about 39, our surah. وَقَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 39, we continue. But Fir'aun turned away from belief in might, along with his hosts, and said, a sorcerer or a madman. So he accused Musa alayhi salam of being a magician, because he brought these signs which resemble what the magicians made. A stick from wood placed on the earth and it becomes a snake, a clear one. And all these signs, this resembled magic or a madman. That is because he, Musa alayhi salam, with respect to Fir'aun, he claimed that Allah is alone, is the only true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that he is the Lord, and that he is the true God worthy of worship. And that's because they didn't know of a God except Fir'aun. So if someone comes and says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that Allah is the Lord of al-alameen, all that exists, and that Fir'aun is neither a God nor a Lord, then they throw him with madness and insanity, accuse him of that. Because now he's saying things which we are not accustomed to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. So we took him and his hosts and dumped them into the sea while he was to be blamed. The sea. The sea in which Fir'aun was destroyed is the Al-Bahr al-Ahmar, the Red Sea, which is between Asia and Africa. That is because when Fir'aun gathered his troops and marched in order to destroy Musa and his people, Musa alayhi salam moved then from Egypt, heading east. But he was faced on his way east by the sea, which stood between him and his objective of continuing east. فَلَمَّا وَصَلُوا إِلَى الْبَحْرِ, so when they reached the sea, the sea was there in front of them, and Fir'aun was behind them.
So the people of Musa said, as Allah stated in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 61, Inna lamudrakun. Inna lamudrakun, meaning we are to be destroyed. We are about to be overtaken, destroyed. That is because Fir'aun is behind us and the sea is in front of us. So, where is the deliverance? Musa responded as in the next verse in Surah Al-Shu'ara, 26:62, Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Allahu Akbar. Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. So Musa said, nay, verily with me is my Lord, he will guide me. This with, quote, end of quote, or companionship, is a particular ma'iyya. Ma'iyya ma'a. This is called ma'iyya in Arabic, which means being with. This ma'iyya, this companionship, is a particular one. Is a particular one, which necessitates support and giving victory. Which necessitates support and giving victory. That is because the ma'iyya may have different entailments. Here it necessitates an-nasr, victory, and ta'yid, support. So he said, كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي Nay, verily with me is my Lord, سيهدين, he will guide me. He didn't say سوف يهدين, but rather سيهدين. You see that? The scene is with the word يهدي, سيهدين. This is an indication of the nearness of Allah's help, and that this hardship will soon, very soon, be lifted. And this is exactly what happened. This is exactly what took place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to strike the sea with his stick. So he did. And it parted to 12 paths immediately. And it became dry instantaneously. And it became fit to walk on instantaneously, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Taha, verse 77, فَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ طَرِيقًا فِي الْبَحْرِ يَبَسَ لَا تَخَافُ دَرَكًا وَلَا تَخْشَى. And indeed we inspired Musa saying, travel by night with Ibadi, with my slaves, and strike a dry path for them in the sea, fearing neither to be overtaken by Fir'aun, nor being afraid of drowning in the sea. And in the other verse in Surah Al-Shu'ara, then we inspired Musa saying, strike the sea with your stick, and it parted, and each separate part of that water, of the sea water, became like the huge, firm mass of a mountain. Allahu Akbar. Musa and his people took this great path, which was water. It was like mountains of water in front of them. And when they left and finished and crossed the barrier, Fir'aun was after them. And so they came in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded with his might and authority the sea to return as it was. saw it overtook Fir'aun and his people, and they were totally destroyed. Walhamdulillah, and all praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he said, Allah said in this verse 40, in the chapter we are talking about, وَهُوَ مُلِيم وَهُوَ مُلِيم. And he is to be blamed, Fir'aun. That is because he rejected the divine message. He was to be blamed. And he was to be blamed for himself also, for claiming lordship and divinity. I have never knew of an ilah of you except me, he told his people. And the like of these words, which hold him accountable. That is because the truth has been given and shown to him. But he disdained and became haughty and did not submit to the truth. And that's why Musa told him, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتْ, you knew. Meaning, O Fir'aun, as in Surah Al-Isra 17, verse 102, مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرِ وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّكَ يَا فِرْعَوْنُ مَثْبُورًا. Musa said, verily you know that these signs have been sent down by none but the Lord of the heavens and the earth, as clear evidences, proofs for Allah's oneness and uniqueness. And I think you are indeed, O Fir'aun, doomed to destruction, away from all good. That's what occurred. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Musa's story with Fir'aun, said concerning Ad, the people of Ad, and the wind, and وفي عاد إذ أرسلنا عليهم الريح العقيم. And in Ad there is also a sign when we sent against them the barren wind. It spared nothing that it reached. It eached but blew it into broken spreads of rotten ruins. On this note, inshallah, we stop to continue next time. بإذن الله تعالى وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.